Tonight I want us to look at that passage in John chapter 3, and under the title, Salvation is All of God. And this is a message which I hope really would encourage Christians and help Christians rejoice in their salvation. And it's also a message that for those who are not saved would understand that their only hope can be in God and Jesus Christ. Jonathan Edwards was a great preacher in America in the 1700s, and he once said this: "You contribute nothing to your salvation except the sin that made it necessary. You contribute nothing to your salvation except the sin that made it necessary." And I want us to think about three points tonight about why it is that we can do nothing for our salvation, and why it has to be all of God. And the first thing we see is the helplessness of mankind in this passage. And Jesus uses two pictures to get across how helpless we are in regards to salvation. And the first is the picture of birth. I imagine there's no one here who can remember the day that they were born. And I'm sure the day that we were born that really we did nothing in regards to our birth. The doctors and the nurses did something, but probably our mothers did most of the hard work. We contributed nothing. We just came out when others caused us to come out, and we did nothing in regards to that. And Jesus uses the picture of salvation. He uses birth as a picture of salvation. He says it is a rebirth. Back in John chapter 1, John says about people who are saved, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And someone being saved, it isn't their decision, it isn't that they have done anything to achieve it. It is like our first birth, it's all of others, it's all of God. The second picture he gives is that of the wind in verse 8. And speaking about the Holy Spirit, that salvation being like the wind, he says the wind comes from where it pleases and it goes to where it pleases, and indeed we can do nothing about it. Tonight we're planning to have this drive-in and to have the lorry up at the top, but the wind was indeed blowing up the way, so it would have taken the sound all away. We couldn't control the wind, we couldn't change the wind, so we had to adjust our plans to fit in the wind. And so it is with the Holy Spirit. You cannot control the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one who brings rebirth, brings salvation. And you cannot make him go in a certain direction. You cannot make him come to you and make you born again. We are helpless in regards to being born again. And one of the reasons we're helpless is Paul says in Ephesians 2, we are dead in our trespasses and sin. He doesn't say we're sick. He says we are dead spiritually. And dead people can do nothing. People who are spiritually dead can do nothing of spiritual value for their salvation. Take the story of Lazarus in the Bible, the brother of Mary and Martha who died. And Jesus came to the tomb and he got them to roll away the stone. Jesus, by his power, raised Lazarus from the dead. Lazarus couldn't do it himself. He couldn't make himself alive. It is the power of God coming through Christ that raised him from the dead. It was totally down to the action of God. I love the story of Martin Lloyd-Jones, the great Welsh preacher, as a little boy. And in his class, RE class in school, he was asked, "Why did Jesus say, Lazarus, come forth?" And Lloyd-Jones, as a little boy, says, "Well, if he didn't say Lazarus come forth, all the dead bodies would have come up at that point." Realizing something of the power of God. It is the power of God that raised Lazarus, not the power of himself. It wasn't his own decision. He was dead. Dead people can't choose to rise. It was the power of Christ alone that can do it. And the reason why we want to think about the helplessness of mankind here this evening in regards to salvation is I want you to know, if you're not a Christian, if you're not saved, you cannot save yourself. You cannot just decide to be saved. You need the power of God coming to you. So don't think, if I know I'm going to die, I'll decide then to be saved. You can't do that. It's not in your power to decide when you're going to be saved. You will only be saved when the power of the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And for those of us who are Christians, we need to learn from this and be careful that we don't try and pressurize people into making a profession, forcing people into becoming a Christian. We can't do that. All we can do is force people to make a false profession. We have to pray that God will do it through his Holy Spirit. The wind blows where he chooses. And yet Jesus has said for us to pray for the Holy Spirit. And as Christians, the best thing we can do for the unsaved is to pray for them. Yes, we encourage them, we speak to them, but don't force them. That brings about false professions. So we have the helplessness of mankind. The first thing we see here illustrated in the picture of birth and the picture of the wind. The second reason why, indeed, salvation has to be all of God is the ignorance of mankind. Nicodemus here, who came to Jesus, was Israel's teacher, which means he was top drawer in regards to religious understanding in Israel at that time. He was a Pharisee. He was part of the elite. He is someone who had studied under the great teacher, Gamaliel. He would have been someone who would have been disciplined and conscientious in his study of God's word. He was someone who probably could have quoted you most of the Old Testament. He was someone who was so religious and so disciplined in that. And yet we see here that he hadn't a clue as to what Jesus was talking about. He says to Jesus, "Do I have to go into my mother's womb for the second time?" When Jesus spoke of being born again, he just couldn't figure it out. You see, with all his learning, with all his natural ability, the things of God were hidden from him. He couldn't grasp that. And Jesus, in many ways, in speaking about salvation as being born again, was using baby talk to try and get across to Nicodemus that this is amazing, this is a new life. And Nicodemus just couldn't grasp it because he was ignorant because of his sin. Paul, writing to the Corinthians, who Corinth was part of the Greek society. The Greek society was renowned for its wisdom, for its learning. And Paul says to them, listen, the foolishness of God, if there was such a thing, is far greater than the wisdom of man. And he goes on and he says to Corinthians, the natural man, that's the person without the Holy Spirit. The person who doesn't have the Holy Spirit enlightening his mind, he can never grasp the things of God. They're just foolishness to him. And so an ignorant person, a person in their sin, just can't grasp this left to themselves. Last week I watched the film Amazing Grace. It's one of my favourite films. I don't know if you've ever seen it. It's the story of William Wilberforce, who had worked for the deliverance of slaves. William Wilberforce was a Christian man, and the story is told. He went to hear a famous preacher in London one night, and he invited William Pitt, who would become Prime Minister and who was his friend, to come with him. William Pitt was not a Christian. And William Wilberforce, when he left that service that night, he just spoke of how his heart was soaring into the heights with joy and excitement of what he heard the preacher talk about. William Pitt was bored. William Pitt couldn't understand what the man was on about. William Pitt was a very capable young man. At a very young age, he became Prime Minister. But when it came to spiritual things, he was blind. He was ignorant. He just couldn't grasp it because he was still in his sin. And that's why people for many years can sit in ignorance, listening to many preachers about their need of salvation, and they just don't grasp it. And then one day they do. One day suddenly it makes sense. one day suddenly they're convinced of it. What's the difference? It's the Spirit of God who alone can do it. If you're not a Christian, you need to pray that you read the Bible, that God, by His Spirit, would open up your eyes to understand the truth that is being taught and to be convinced of it. Only the Spirit can do that for you. And for those of us who are Christians, we need to pray for the Spirit to open the eyes of the blind spiritually. I mentioned Jonathan Edwards some time ago at the beginning of this sermon. Apparently, Jonathan Edwards was a pretty mundane preacher in the sense he was quite monotone. And he read, his head would have been down, and he read his manuscript as he preached. And in a sense, in his delivery, in a human point of view, there was nothing exceptional. But Jonathan Edwards was used by God to see great numbers of people coming to Christ and salvation. And a number of years ago, a minister decided to take a sermon that Jonathan Edwards had preached and to read it or preach it to his congregation. A sermon which had been used greatly many years ago. And there was absolutely no impact. What was the difference? Jonathan Edwards, as he had preached that sermon that first time all those years ago, he preached in the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was moving. And people's eyes were opened. Their hearts were changed. People's ignorance is answered by the Word of God and the Spirit of God, both working together. So, why is salvation all of God? First of all, the helplessness of mankind. And secondly, the ignorance of mankind. And there's one other reason. And that is the hostility of mankind. Going on a wee bit further in John 3, in verses 14 and 15. Jesus speaks of the time when the children of Israel were in the desert and they were attacked by poisonous snakes. And a snake was then made by Moses of bronze and lifted up, and those who looked to it were rescued, were saved. It was a time of rebellion against God. The God who had, through the 10 plagues, through the dividing of the Red Sea, through those amazing miracles, had brought the children of Israel out of Egypt, who had fed them with bread from heaven, the manna, who had fed them with quail, these birds that came down for them to eat. Constantly they rebelled against God. Constantly they complained against God. And God sent poisonous snakes to attack them. Instead of the great God who had rescued them, they wanted to worship a golden calf made out of their jewelry. And think of that famous verse there in John 3:16 that comes immediately after that talk of the snake in the desert. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. I want you to think of that word world. That word world speaks of the breadth of God's love. He loves this whole world and he wants people from every nation to come to Christ and salvation. But the word world also speaks of the depth of God's love. Because the word world in John's writings, in his gospel, in his letters, speaks of a world that has a hated God, that's opposed to God, that's turned away from Christ. Down to verse 19, it's a world that loves darkness. It's a world that doesn't want to come into the light of the gospel because its sinful deeds are evil. It's a world that is opposed to God totally. In Romans chapter 3, it speaks about how no one seeks God, how indeed our hearts have decayed and totally against God. And in Romans 8, he speaks of how those who are not saved are hostile to God. They hate God. Now, maybe you're saying here this evening, William, I'm not a Christian, I'm not saved, I'm not born again, but I don't hate God. Well, if you say that tonight, you're not a Christian, but you don't hate God, Well, you're making God out to be a liar, because God's word says the unsaved person hates God. So that's a sign you do hate him. You're calling him a liar. The other thing is why people say they don't hate God is they love a God who's made in their own image. A God who's like a grandfather figure, gentle and kind. A God who will wink at their sin. Not the God of the Bible, a God of holiness, of wrath, who will take them to hell forever. The problem is people bring God down to be much less than he is. You see, sometimes people think salvation is a matter of the Holy Spirit lifting us up like a wee boy coming to lift it up by his dad to take an apple off a tree. And the Holy Spirit's work is to lift us up so we can reach the wee apple, and then it's really up to us to take the apple ourselves. But the reality is that the Holy Spirit lifted us up so we could understand the gospel. We wouldn't take the apple. We wouldn't take salvation ourselves because we hate God. We hate Jesus by nature. So what's the answer? Well, the answer has to be that our hateful hearts which oppose God are changed and replaced with a soft, loving, gentle heart in being born again. I'm someone who doesn't like cold cheese. Give me cheese on a pizza and I love it. Give me cheese on a toasted sandwich and I love it. But don't give me cold cheese. I just don't like it. And no matter how much you would talk to me, I just can't change how I think about cheese. You can give it to me and I still will not like it. I just can't change. It's a wee bit of a silly illustration. But it shows us that people who hate Jesus, people who do not love Christ, they just can't change to love him themselves. They just can't decide to be different. What has to happen is they have to be changed inside. The Holy Spirit has to come to their hard heart, which hates God, and change them into a heart that will love God and embrace Christ through faith. Think of the story of Saul of Tarsus, that man who hated Christians, who went to Damascus to get Christians put in prison. He hated the name of Jesus. And then on the Damascus road, he met Christ and he was blinded by the glory of Christ, brighter than the noonday sun. He became a man that loved Christ and says everything else was rubbish compared to knowing Jesus. Why was he changed? Well, it wasn't just that he met Jesus and saw the glory of Christ. That wouldn't be enough. At the same time, the Spirit of God entered his heart and made him born again, changed his nature. And that's why he then trusted in Jesus, follow Jesus, and love Jesus. The Spirit of God had changed him within. So I hope you get this tonight, that because of the helplessness of mankind, we're dead in our sin. Because of the ignorance of mankind, we're blind in our sin. Because of the hostility of mankind, we hate God. We can't change ourselves. We can't decide to be Christians. Our only hope is being born again. The Spirit of God coming in power, causing us to see our sin, but causing us to see the glory and wonder of Christ, and causing us to love him and trust him and follow him. If you're not saved here tonight, understand this. You can't change yourself. You're hopeless. You're helpless in yourself. All you can do is get on your knees and plead that God will have mercy upon you, that God will change you, that God will make you a new person. For such grace, we pray in your life.